The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord. Jesus said to the people, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized the slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other slaves more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Let us kill him and get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Do I have any children who want to come forward for a children's sermon?
Dates. So you can go and look for that and see where the cornerstone is. considered important or historical and to the cornerstone. Now, I don't know if there's a plan to unearth that in a few decades from now, but if you were to put something important into a cornerstone, what would you put? What would you put in there that you would consider important? What about the rest of you? What would you put in that you would consider important? A letter to the congregation of the future?
Build walls and build O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When Jesus began his parable, he said, "Listen to another parable. Here goes another story about the kingdom of God." And he said, "There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower." What does this sound like? Our first reading from Isaiah, doesn't it? And that's exactly what the people would have remembered. As soon as he started talking about this, they will remember that familiar image from the prophet Isaiah about the vineyard and the care that's taken of the vineyard, how the stones are dug out, how a wine press is built, a watchtower is established. So that's the image that they have in their mind. And they will remember what happened in that story of Isaiah. That the owner of the vineyard takes such great care. And when he goes to collect the produce, what does he get? Can you imagine, as you're about to put what you think is going to be a delicious grape that's going to burst into your mouth with that sweetness of fruit, and you put it in your mouth and you bite down on it, and instead of that sweet juice, you get that awful, and you realize that everything you've done is wasted. That crop is not going to be good for anything. That wine press is not going to be used. You're not going to be pressing those grapes. They are absolutely worthless. And so the people have that image in their mind. But Jesus takes the story in a different direction. In our gospel lesson, he has no issue with the grapes that are being produced. This is probably instead a wonderful crop. The problem that he has is with the people who are running the vineyard, the tenants. Because they are supposed to be working for the owner of the vineyard. And when the owner asks for his rent, which is the majority of the produce, he's supposed to get it, right? It's like if you need to pay your mortgage, you pay it. If you pay your rent, what happens if you don't pay your rent? You get kicked out. That's exactly what happens. So he sends his servants to ask them to pay what needs to be paid. And instead of paying it, they beat the servants. They stone them. They kill one. And instead of kicking them out then, the owner sends more servants. And they ask, "Give us the rents. Give us the produce." And they're treated the same way. And then the owner says, "Why don't I send my son? Surely they will have respect for my son." And what do? Do they show any respect for the son of the owner? No. Instead, they drag him out of the vineyard and they kill him. Because they say, "Look, here is the heir. And if we kill him, we get everything." The owner must be sending these servants and then sending his son because he's dead, or he'd come himself. So that means if he's dead and this guy is the heir, if we kill him, then who is left to be sent? And we'll just have it all for ourselves. And of course, the owner isn't dead. So he sent his son, and his son is killed. And they ask, "So what's going to happen when the owner comes around?" And the people say, "Well, of course, he is going to put them to death, and he's going to give this place to people who will actually give him the produce when it's harvest time." And Jesus says, "Oh, okay. Do you understand what you've just said? Do you understand what I've just said? Because what is he really referring to in this parable? Who are the servants who've been sent out and treated so badly? They are the prophets. They are the prophets that were sent out with the message of God, and the people didn't listen to them. And this is what happened to the prophets. That some of them were stoned, some of them were beaten, some of them were killed. The people wouldn't listen. And God sent more, and the people wouldn't listen. And God sent more, and the people wouldn't listen. And then, who is sent? Jesus, the Son, is sent. Surely they will listen to the Son. And what happened? We crucified him. We don't seem to get it, do we? Because why aren't we listening? Why is it that we treat the vineyard as though it belongs to us rather than to God? And that's really the question here. Why do we not give to God what belongs to God? Why do we treat it as though it belongs to us? And here, this is specifically directed to the religious authorities. And they realize that Jesus is talking about them. And that what he is saying is, you have not listened to my message. You have not heard what I have said about God and God's kingdom. And therefore, others are going to come after you. And we know them to be the apostles, the disciples, all of those who to this day continue to proclaim God's message to the world. But the question really is, do we give back to God what belongs to God, or do we want to hang on to it as though it belongs to us? Do we fail to understand that God is the one who's given us absolutely everything? And when harvest time comes, expects us to give what belongs to God. And I know I don't want to be one of those wicked tenants in the story. I want to do what I can to make sure that when God asks for what God is entitled to receive from me, that I give it back. And I'm not always so good about that. I don't know about you, but I like to hoard some things from myself, to not always be as generous with my time and my talent, my treasure, as I should be. Because who does it really belong to? Do I really own anything? When I die, can I take any of it with me? No, it all belongs to God. So that's our message today, is that God is the owner of the vineyard, and we're just the tenants who are working that vineyard. And we tend our vineyard well, and we can produce such wonderful and abundant fruit. And do we produce that fruit for the sake of the world? If God asks us to spread his message, that fruit, to the world, do we do it? And so what is God's love song? Jesus loves me. That's exactly it. That's God's love song to us, because we fail all the time. We have great intentions and we fail. And God doesn't destroy us. God doesn't send us into exile. God forgives us. God sent us Jesus. And Jesus is that love song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And that when we fail, God still loves us. God still loves us. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Because whose love can, who can outlove God?